All right, we're in Revelation chapter 1 tonight. Revelation chapter 1, I wanted to just focus on two or three verses that have always been a blessing to me every time I read them. Sometimes, I've said this before, we get in the habit of just reading through Scripture and reading through different passages, and we don't stop and think and stop and break down what the verse is actually saying for it to be a blessing to us. And I wanted to kind of go through some of these verses. We will by no means finish tonight, but we'll go. Maybe next time on a Wednesday night, we'll finish up some more of this. But beginning just in verse number 4, this is the beginning of the book and some things that John wrote here. Verse number 4 of chapter 1. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. That would be the Father. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, the Spirit. And then verse 5, he begins talking about, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is just one of several, I guess we could call them, passages of praise that are throughout the book of Revelation. Some are given by the group of redeemed, and we could look at many of them tonight. But this first one in the book, I just wanted to point out a few things as we think about this small pattern for praise that is in this passage. If you notice in verse number 5, the first thing that John writes about is who Christ is. Who is our Lord? He's going to give 3 points. It's so easy to see about who our Lord is. Then he's going to give 3 other things of what our Lord has done. I think it's so important on the outset of our little message tonight, it's so important to understand that as a part of praising the Lord, we need to stop and think about who Christ is. Who is our Lord? Many times we, even in our prayers, we just kind of run through, Lord, thank you for the day, and we just continue to talk about different things, and we seldom take time to stop and think. Stop and think about what the Lord's done. Stop and think about the reasons why we should be thankful, why we should have praise to Him. And I think a good pattern for our prayers, a good pattern for our praise, is to begin by thanking the Lord for who He is, and then thanking Him for what He's done, and then bringing requests to Him as well. We get busy and we don't really stop and think about those things that I said. I was in camp the other day with Todd, and we drove out to a farm, and Tara was sitting there, and there's a certain young man in our camp that likes to complain a lot, doesn't he, Tara? He always has to find the negative. It's always, well, this is, this is, he's always looking for the negatives. And Tara said, now I want you to stop, and by the end of the day, you're going to tell me 5 things that you like about being here. That means you got to stop. I like that, by the way, Tara. That was good. You got to stop and quit complaining, quit griping about everything that's so terrible. Let's find things that are good. You know, the devil likes us as Christians to focus on the bad. Let's complain about all the terrible things that are happening and the bad things. And John, here he is on the Isle of Patmos by himself. He's been tortured and all these other things, and he has so much bad things he could complain about. But what does he do? He talks about who Christ is. And he begins to praise God for the one that is, do you see the 3 things in verse 5? The faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. I want to just quickly look at this praise of who Christ is, and next time we'll look at what He's done. Who Christ is, we've seen these 3 things. First of all, He is the faithful witness. That word witness is a familiar word. It's the word martyrios in the Greek, and it is the idea of one that gives evidence. One that has firsthand knowledge, and He gives evidence, and He supports that knowledge. Now, who is Christ evidence of? It's the Father. He's evidence of God the Father. He's evidence of all that happened in creation and all the things that the Bible tells us about. Christ has firsthand knowledge of those things. He is a faithful or a reliable witness, and He knows the reality of our lives, the reality of this world. You know, man and his philosophies is always searching to try to understand reality and try to understand truth and find it in all these different avenues. But we as Christians have been given the faithful witness. The faithful witness through whom this book is written. And we can know the truth about reality. We can know about what our natural universe is. We can know it's created by God. We can know that we're accountable to that God, that He's the one who is superintending this world. There is a faithful witness that saw creation firsthand. He knows God. It's His Father firsthand. And He relates that to us. He's our faithful witness in that regard. John chapter 14, verse 9. I don't know if you remember the question of Philip. And Christ told Philip that if you have seen me, then you have seen who? The Father. He's the faithful witness. And if you've seen him, you have seen the Father. He reveals the Father. And he's the revelation of God, the faithful witness. Now, there's a commentary that I brought with me tonight. It's one of my favorites. It's written by John Phillips, and he has such a way with words of just writing things in a particular way that to make it easy to understand. I don't know about you, but I need stuff that's easy to understand. I want to be sharing a couple things that he wrote tonight in our message, but there are several things that he said that Christ was a witness to. And he compared them back to the things of the Old Testament. The way that God revealed himself in the Old Testament versus the way that Christ now reveals him to us in the New Testament. One of them was the name of God. The name of God in the Old Testament, God revealed his name in so many different ways, but Christ brings a unique and special name of God that wasn't as prominent in the Old Testament. What is the name of God that we would refer to as believers? Let me give you a hint. We've been born again into a new family, so God is our Father. That's a word, that a name, a title that Christ has revealed. That Christ is a witness to the fact that God is a loving Heavenly Father. And as being adopted into His family, Christ is a witness of that relationship we have. Another one is the nature of sin. Christ is a faithful witness about the nature of sin. I know we can talk quite a bit about all the different theories of sin that man has come up with, and you know, we try to make sin out to be something different than what it actually is. And the Old Testament even was full of all kinds of vocabulary for sin, and the what theologians have even called the sinfulness of sin, that it's terrible and exceedingly wicked. But when Christ came, man was able to see the awful and complete reality of the penalty of sin. The nature of sin is revealed through Christ. He's witness to the fact that sin is terrible and it is to be judged with death. Christ is a faithful witness to that. A third thing is he's the witness to the need of righteousness. He has firsthand knowledge that without righteousness, you cannot come to the Father. He has firsthand knowledge of that. He's witness to the reality of the things that we've seen about in the Sermon on the Mount that our pastor's been preaching on, and how Christ deals with the desires of man's heart, the root of sin, rather than the law just talking about what the sin was and all those type of things, the deeds that were committed. What about the heart behind it? The heart that must now be righteous. Christ is a reliable witness to that reality. Another thing that Christ is a witness of, just a couple more. He's a witness to the fact that judgment is coming. That judgment is coming. You know, in his ministry, many have said that Christ often talked about hell more than he did about heaven. That there is a judgment that is coming. The Son of God knows firsthand that there is a place of judgment, and you need to believe the witness, this faithful witness, or you will go and end up in the judgment of this terrible place. Another thing that Christ is a witness of is, to obviously, the news of salvation. He is the faithful proclaimer of the need that we are in of salvation. He contacted, and he was witnessing. He was giving firsthand knowledge of the fact that man needs salvation. These are the things that Christ is. He's a faithful witness. You know, the world is in staggering darkness in sin. A fallen world, a fallen race. But the revelation of Christ through that he came into this world, and then he continued to reveal himself as he gave us his word. And now we have a revelation of Christ in this book, even though he's not here with us in person. But that revelation is not popular to mankind. They don't want the faithful witness of Christ. They don't like that reliable reality of firsthand knowledge, because it speaks to the truth of who we really are. So man seems to desire to reject this. But because of the firsthand knowledge that Christ has, the witness that he's given us, he is worthy of our praise. Do we ever praise the Lord for the fact that we have knowledge of reality? We have knowledge of God. We have knowledge of our sin. We have knowledge of heaven and hell. We've been witness to of all of these things because of Christ. That should be a part of our praise. For without him, we would know nothing. You know, many theologians say that revelation is God revealing to man something that he can't find out otherwise. In ourselves, we can't understand these things about God and about all the things in his word. We would never have come up with this. But it took the revelation of God in the scriptures. And now, do we praise the Lord that we've received this knowledge. He's the faithful witness, and faithful is that you can count on it. He's not lying to you. He's a reliable witness. You know, you ever, sometimes in courts, you know, they have all the perjury and all those things, and people are tempted to maybe twist the truth a little bit or put your own little slant of interpretation on the events that you're witnessing to, but that's not the case with Christ. You can trust Him. He's not going to deceive you or trick you. He's the faithful witness of reality, and we need to praise Him that He's revealed that to us and witnessed it to us as His people. Quickly, the next thing in verse number 5 is, not only is Christ the faithful witness, but He is the first begotten of the dead. Boy, what a great truth to praise Him for. In the Greek, this word, first begotten, has the idea of sovereignty and priority. He's in the top priority. He's the one with power, the one with honor, the one that takes first place. You know, even of all the dead that have died in history, Christ takes first place because He died, triumphed, was resurrected, arose from the dead, and ascended to continue God's plans. This commentator, Phillips, he wrote this, Christ is the leader of all who will rise from the dead through Him to everlasting life. There is a man in the glory actively engaged in promoting the interest of God for this age. He's building His church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. So down from the excellent glory came the encouraging words, grace be unto you and peace. That's our Savior. That there is a plan, and He is the one that is instituting this plan. He is the one that's carrying on God's plan. Why? Because He's the first begotten. He is the one in the position of priority. He's the Lord of all, the living and the dead. He is the supreme one, the one to take the place of priority as the Lord of the universe. I think of Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, that references Christ as the firstborn of all creation. He is in the position of first place. And because of that, that guarantees our resurrection. That guarantees that since Christ is the firstborn of the dead, that we as believers will simply just pass right into eternal life that we already possess, but we will just go from life right through death and continue to live. And because Christ is the first begotten of the dead, that's the reason. And we can praise the Lord, not just for being a faithful witness, but He's worthy of our praise because He's the one of priority. He's the one of supremacy. Through Him, all of our blessings flow because of that position. The third thing in verse number 5, which is another powerful description, is that He is the prince of the kings of the earth. Now, our Satan, which I should say, has nothing to do with that. He hates that phrase. He does not want to even consider that to be a reality. All the things that man claims, all the claims that Satan makes, that this is his kingdom. This is his earthly kingdom. Christ is the ultimate, the supreme over the kingdoms of the earth, whether Satan believes it or not. He's in charge. Psalm chapter 89, verse number 27, listen to this. It says, also, I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. That is the position and who Christ is. The Jews have always considered this to be the Messiah, the one who is over all of the kings. And you see the control of Christ simply in this one thing. Think about the leaders of earth that have always thought they've been over the earth, or many of them, perhaps world dictators that have tried to rise up and take over the earth and control many people and control many nations. What happens to them? They die. They rise to power, they decline from power, they die. Kingdoms as a whole, empires rise to power, because of their sin, they usually decline back down and they're gone. But there's one who is over all the kingdoms that has been in charge, is in charge, and will forever continue to be in charge of the kingdoms of the earth, and that is our Savior. How did Christ attain this position? Why is Christ the King of the rulers and the princes of the earth? You know, I thought about Satan, and our pastor referred to this in his message on Matthew chapter 4. What did Satan really think when he tempted Christ? Remember that? He said, bow down before me. He showed him all the what? The kingdoms of the world. Bow down to me and I will give you this. Satan was tempting Christ to gain the kingdoms of the world through a different means. Now, Christ is already the kingdom, owns the kingdoms of the world, but Satan really in his heart believed that he was the one. I'm the one that owns these kingdoms. I'm the one that's in charge, and I'll work a deal with you. I'll give them to you if you just bow down and come to my side. He fails to realize, Satan, that God is still in control the entire time. Even though he allows Satan to do certain things and influence certain things in history, and Satan is, because of that, convinced himself that he owns the kingdoms, that he is in charge. Satan offered all these kingdoms to Christ and claimed that he had the power of the kingdoms. Listen to Luke chapter 4 in his account, Luke's account of the temptation. He records that Satan said, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them," this is a record of Satan, "for that is delivered unto me, Satan, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." That was Satan trying to sound like God. I'm the one that has all the power of the kingdoms of the earth. It's to be delivered to me, and to whosoever I will, I'm going to give it to. The amazing thing is that what the devil promised Christ, he could never have given it to him. He could never have given it to him. But what he tried to promise Christ, Jesus won it for himself by going to the suffering of the cross and through the power of the resurrection. You know, Christ being lifted up on the cross, that's what drew men to Christ. That's what draws the kingdoms to Christ. That's what draws mankind to Christ. Not some compromise or some deal with the devil. Compromise with evil and sin. Christ was faithful to the truth, and that brought about the claiming of the kingdoms of the earth. And as Philippians chapter 2 says, every knee shall bow to him. It was not compromise with Satan that brought this about. It was standing for truth and doing what the Father had sent him to do. You know, as a believer, we can rest and hope in the fact that Christ is the prince of the kingdoms of the earth. Christ is the one in charge. No more, you don't have to worry and fear about what to do and why things are terrible, and Christ is in control. You can read magazine articles and books, and people worry about the condition of society, and they argue and debate about the philosophies of society and which one we should do and why is our society going down, and there's this big thing of fear that has tried to be gendered up in people's minds. But as believers, there's no reason to fear, because we have one that's the faithful witness, and he's already told us as a faithful witness what's going to happen. He's the prince, he's the first begotten of the dead, and he's the prince of the kings of the earth. He's over it all, and there's no reason to fear. I want to conclude by reading one quote from this book here. He's talking about the fact that Christ is the prince of the earth, and he says, "The devil is going to have his final fling, if you want to call it that. He's going to crown a monster conjured from the sea and the abyss. He's going to smooth the sand and build his clay castle of an empire. He will head the shaky structure with a nasty little tyrant armed with a few fancy fireworks and a bag of magic tricks with which to dupe the masses of mankind. This coming world dictator will throw out his puny chest, set up his image, wave his futile fist at heaven, and burst into windbag blasphemies against the Lamb upon the throne, saying, 'I am God,' he will shout. 'Look, my prophet and I can make my image speak. Worship me or perish.'" These are events that happen in Revelation. "Then God will laugh. Peal after peal of frightful laughter will ring out from the throne of God, and the walls will all come tumbling down. The whole rickety affair, all stuck together like Nimrod's Babylon with slime from the pit. Down it will come. God's king is still on the throne. He is the prince of the kings of the earth." That's quite a description to me. I enjoyed reading that. That Satan just thinks, I've got my little false prophet, I've got the Antichrist, we're going to set this up, we're going to do some little miracles, we're going to dupe all humanity, we're in control. And God just, the derision, laughing at and scorn, what are they? It's a futile effort. Why? Because even at the outset of this revelation, there's something to understand. Christ is the prince of the kings of the earth. This is the major reasons that we have to praise the Lord for what He's done for us. This should be first in our praise when we pray, when we meditate, when we speak to others. The priority of the Son of God should be emphasized. He's the faithful witness. He didn't tell you a lie and misrepresent what He witnessed. He's the first begotten of the dead, and He has first place. He makes it possible for our eternal life, and He is the Prince of Kingdoms in control of man's kingdom. Let's praise Him tonight for who He is, for who He is. And next time we meet together, we're going to look at verses 5 and 6, and we're going to see that we can praise Him for what He's done for us. He's loved us, washed us from our sins, and made us kings and priests. Some incredible truths that we're going to look at next time. Father, we want to praise You and thank You tonight for who you are as the Son of God. Lord, the great truth that you're in charge, that you're supreme, that you're in control, that you're a faithful witness. Lord, where would we be without these things? We'd be a hopeless and a lost humanity staggering around in a pit of our own philosophies and ideas. So Lord, we thank you so much for revealing yourself and Lord, that you truly are in control. I pray, Father, we wouldn't worry or fret or fear the things that go on in this world because we know the one who's the Prince of the Kings of the earth. We can rely on him. He's reliable. He's faithful. Father, forgive us for our fear and worry and for not trusting your scriptures, your word, and what you promised. Bless us now, Lord, the rest of this week, and I pray that you'd give us opportunities to witness, you'd give us opportunities to be faithful to you and have a strong testimony. I pray these things now and that you would bless us as we go our separate ways. In Christ's name, amen. Lord bless you tonight.